Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins to God our Father, and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord.
And you forgave the guilt of my sin.
All powerful God, our Maker and our Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are sinful and unclean by nature, and also that we have sinned against you in our thoughts, our words, and our actions. And so we flee to find refuge in your limitless mercy, looking and pleading for your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Most merciful God, who gave your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy on us, and for his sake, forgive us all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit, increase in us real knowledge of you, and of your will, and real obedience to your word, so that by your grace we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy upon us and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on his name, he gives the power to become the children of God and has promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all.
Your word is a lamp to my feet
and a light to my path.
Forever, O Lord, your word
is firmly fixed in the heavens.
Your faithfulness endures to all generations.
You have established the earth, and it stands fast.
By your appointment, they stand this day.
For all things are your servants.
If your law had not been my delight,
I would have perished in my affliction.
I will never forget your precepts.
For by them you have given me life.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, the giver of all that is good, By your holy inspiration, grant that we may think those things that are right, and by your merciful guiding, accomplish them. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The first reading for the sixth Sunday of Easter is from the book of Acts, the 17th chapter. While Paul was waiting for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him as he saw the city was full of idols. So he reasoned at the synagogue with the Jews and the devout persons, and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. Some of the Epicureans and Stoic philosophers also conversed with him, and some said, "What does this babbler wish to say?" Others said, "He seems to be a preacher of foreign divinities, because he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection." And they took hold of him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting? For you bring some strange things to our ears. We wish to know, therefore, what these things mean." Now, the Athenians and their foreigners who lived there would spend their time in nothing except telling or hearing something new. So Paul, standing in the middle of the Areopagus, said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that you are very religious, for I was passing among the observed the objects of your worship, and I found also an altar with the inscription, 'To the unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you: the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling places, that they should seek God, in the hope that they might feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. And even some of your own poets have said, 'For we are indeed his offspring.' Being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of a man. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Bless our God, O peoples.
Let the sound of his praise be heard.
Who has kept our soul among the living,
and has not let our feet slip?
For you, O God, have tested us.
You have tried us as silver is tried.
You brought us into the net.
You laid a crushing burden on our backs.
You let men ride over our heads.
We went through fire and through water, yet you have brought us out to a place of abundance.
I will come into your house with burnt offerings.
I will perform my vows to you.
That which my lips utter,
and my mouth promised when I was in trouble.
I will offer to you burnt offerings of fattened animals, with the smoke of the sacrifice of rams.
I will make an offering of bulls and goats.
Come and hear, all you who fear God.
And I will tell what he has done for my soul.
I cried to him with my mouth,
and high praise was on my tongue.
If I had cherished iniquity in my heart,
the Lord would not have listened.
But truly, God has listened.
He has attended to the voice of my prayer.
Blessed be God.
Because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love from me. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Bless our God, O peoples.
Let the sound of his praise be heard.
The second reading is from the first letter of St. Peter, the third chapter. Now, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts regard Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who reviled your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for our sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey, when God's patience waited in the day of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers having been subjected to him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. According to St. John, the 14th chapter.
Glory be to you.
Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, our very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father, and he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Before his death and resurrection, Jesus made this promise to his followers: I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. This is our text. Today we're back with Jesus and his disciples on the night when he was betrayed. It seems like a strange place to be in the Easter season. We're listening while Jesus says goodbye to his disciples and as he talks about the future. The disciples don't know what lies ahead, but Jesus does. The disciples aren't prepared for what's coming, but Jesus is. Our Lord sees past his crucifixion and burial to his resurrection and ascension and the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. He knows what the disciples need. He knows what you need. No matter how different the future may be, the promises of Jesus remain the same. What Jesus has done in his death and resurrection isn't just for a moment. It will last. Though everything else may change, what Jesus has done and what he gives and what he promises will last in eternity. And what did Jesus promise to do? As he was looking ahead on the night of his betrayal, past his death, resurrection, and all the way to his ascension, what did he promise? He said, I'll ask the Father, and he'll give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. The disciples won't be alone. Those who believe in Jesus are never alone. They'll have another helper, Jesus says, another one like Jesus, a comforter, an advocate, the Spirit who comes right alongside them and continues the work of Jesus. And with the promised Spirit, Jesus gives other promises as well. He says the Spirit will cause you to love Jesus. The Spirit will lead you to keep and to treasure and to hold fast everything that Jesus taught. The Spirit, Jesus says, will dwell with you and will be in you. And then Jesus promises even more. He promises to continue his presence with the church. He says, I won't leave you as orphans. I'll be with you. He promises resurrection and eternal life because I live. Looking ahead to his resurrection, you will live also. In this text, our gospel reading, it's like there's one promise after another. One promise after another because Jesus atoned for our sins, because he reconciled us to the Father, because he conquered death and hell for us. Promise upon promise after his death, from his death, resurrection, and ascension. And just as Jesus placed these promises into the ears of his disciples long ago, so today, now, through this word, he places his promises right into your ears, because these promises are for you. Now, they were given by Jesus on the night when he was betrayed for a time when he would no longer be visibly present with his disciples. You see, Jesus was about to do his Father's will, to lay down his life for the sheep. He was about to depart, to die, to rise, and then to go to the Father in his ascension. And his departure would be difficult for the disciples. And it certainly wasn't what they were expecting or hoping for. After everything they'd seen, after the blind received sight, after the lame walked, after the poor had good news preached to them, after the dead were raised, after all that, Jesus is going away? It might seem like they were being left behind or orphaned. It might look like they were on their own to deal with the troubles of the world, the devil, and their sinful flesh. And there's no doubt their dreams of hope, glory, power, and earthly success are about to be dashed. And they don't know the day or hour when Jesus would come again in glory. Their lives would still end with death. And you can think about what it was like for those disciples in that time that was to come. This wasn't supposed to be how it would go. This isn't what I expected. That's how the world sees Jesus and his disciples. Maybe that's how we see Jesus. Let down by a Jesus who often seems so far away. And this much is true. It is difficult to be a Christian. We don't see Jesus now with our eyes. We do struggle with sin and with doubt and with disappointment. We do suffer from fear and sadness and loneliness. We do experience crosses and trials and, yes, even death. If we didn't have Jesus' word, if we didn't believe his promises, it would make absolutely no sense to be a Christian, to believe in a crucified God. Without his word, without his promises, we would truly be left alone. But we aren't alone. He does come in his word, just as he promised. And he gives life through his word. And where he gives life, he gives comfort and he gives help. It's just as if Jesus said to the disciples, "Because you won't see me, I speak to you all these words. Put my word in the water and in the bread and wine for you. I'm about to depart, but don't be afraid. Believe in me. Trust what I'm telling you. For although you'll find no comfort or help in the world, I won't leave you on your own. Yes, I'm going to the Father for this very reason, to assume my power and my reign and then show them to you. Even though I depart from you physically, I shall send you another comforter, another helper from the Father, and he'll remain with you always. For I know that you can't abide in this world. You can't remain and continue without a comforter." And then it's as if he goes on. He says, "Because I desire to have you love me and keep my commandments, I'm doing this for you." You see, he knows that you cannot love him and you cannot keep his commandments on his own. But you need the Holy Spirit for these things. So Jesus says, "As I've been your helper in my earthly life, so now I'll provide additional help through my death, my resurrection, and my ascension. When I go to conquer sin, death, and the devil, when I go to win for you forgiveness and the gift of new and eternal life, I will also give you the help you need. For I myself will ask the Father to grant you this helper, the Spirit of truth, who will stay with you forever. He is the Lord and giver of life. He will dwell with you and be in you and enable you to keep my commandments. For he will write my word upon your heart." And dear Christian, you have this gift of God. The Spirit came to you in your baptism, and he comes to you still through his word. And the Holy Spirit has joined you to Jesus' death and resurrection, and he has given you new life in Christ. And through the word, he strengthens you for life in this world, for the battle against sin, for those times of fear and sadness, for the trials and difficulties of this world. And yes, the Spirit even prepares you to die. He brings you into the community of the Father and of the Son. He brings you into their eternal life. He proclaims that your sins are forgiven. He proclaims that heaven is yours. And as I said, the Holy Spirit hasn't just come to you once, but he comes again, and he keeps coming to you, and he keeps helping you, and he keeps forgiving you, and he keeps giving you all the gifts that Jesus won, and he keeps you in the faith to eternal life. And where does the Spirit come? But through his word. And so we come to his word. We come to hear what Jesus promised, to be assured that what he said remains true. I won't leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And he does. Right here. Right now. Right through this very word. Alleluia! Christ is risen! He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Alleluia! He is risen from the dead. And he lives and reigns to all eternity. When Jesus said, I will come to you, he promised that the Holy Spirit would bring him to you in and through his word. Through the scriptures that you hear in the church and that you read and meditate on at home. Through the baptism that brought you new life in Christ. Through the holy absolution that declares your sins forgiven. And through the holy communion that we so long for in these days and that our Lord continues to give. Our Lord ties himself and his life to you in your difficult life in this world. And this is how Jesus comes to you, how his Spirit brings Jesus to you, and through these gifts, how the Father comes to live with you as well. This is the Christian life that you have, dear brothers and sisters, the Christian life that remains yours, even in these times. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit dwelling with you, bringing to you their life, giving to you all the gifts that Christ won and promised, these same eternal gifts in an ever-changing world, these gifts that remain yours now until you see him face to face. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. For the faithful proclamation of Jesus Christ to those who do not know him, that through hearing the word of the Lord, many may be brought to faith and to the knowledge of the truth, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the church of God, here and everywhere, that all who confess Jesus Christ may be united in doctrine and witness, defended against all the assaults of the enemy, and eager to gather together around your word and sacrament in love for one another, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For our congregation, for our brothers and sisters at Christ Lutheran Church in Troy, for the work of the kingdom in our communities, and for the resources to accomplish all that God desires, that his name may be glorified among us and his purpose be fulfilled in our words and our works, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the agencies and institutions through which we love our neighbors and provide for those in need, especially for First Concern Pregnancy Resource Center and the mothers, fathers, and children they serve, for the destitute and homeless, and for everyone who suffers unemployment and underemployment, that we may aid them in their needs and assist them to find honorable labor to supply all their needs, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For those who rejoice in the birth of children, grandchildren, and new members of their extended families, especially for Nick and Hannah Hanlon at the birth of their daughter, Beatrix, and Lizzie and Seetong Nath at the birth of a daughter. For Cara, Tiffany, Kelsey, and all expectant mothers and their unborn children, that they may receive these children as gifts from the Lord and raise them in the fear of God and with faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the lonely who suffer the burdens of life without friendship or family, for those depressed or weary of pandemic measures, for the fellowship of the church, that we may bear one another's burdens and live in community with Christ as our head, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the sick and those who suffer, especially Jesse Meyer, John Meyer, John and his family who are acquaintances of Marilyn Arsenault's, Sally, Eric Studlian's sister, Denise, a friend of Sandy Bowers, Phil Roberts, Debbie's husband, that God would grant healing to their bodies, peace for their minds, and consolation in their griefs and sorrows. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For love of godly things, that we may delight in God's word and walk in his ways, and for the Spirit, that we may be led into all truth and be kept from error and false doctrine, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the nation, for those who lead our nation, for an end to the pandemic, for peace between nations, and for an end to terror and violence, that we may work for the common good so that justice may prevail, life be protected, and truth abound. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. O Lord our God, as we recall the obedient life and life-giving death of your Son for our salvation, we pray you to strengthen our faith and to make our hearts bold, that we may not fear, but address our prayers to you in all humility. Hear us on behalf of Jesus Christ, our great high priest, who even now stands before you on our behalf, pleading our cause with his own blood, until that day when we are delivered from the changes and chances of this mortal life and stand before you in heaven, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Let us pray.
Dearest Lord Jesus, Master and Savior, Alpha and Omega, firstborn from the dead, thanks and praise and glory to you, O risen brother, living God, lead us and we will follow you to the cross, to the grave, and to the skies. Amen.
Bless we the Lord.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah.